In me is both the seed and its fruition. This is Dr. Herbert L. Byerly, Dean of the University of Healing, here in Campo, California, with Instant Illumination. In me is both the seed and its fruition. Wow. We're speaking here of anything we want to speak about. We're speaking here of the seed of an idea, the seed of a fruit, the seed of anything. Now, you say, well, how does that work? Well, let's just take the seeds of the peanuts, you know, or the nut seeds. When you eat the nut seeds, you're not going to grow a nut tree inside of you. The nut seed is to nourish you to be the more beautiful person that you are. So in the seed is its fruition. In the nut seed that nourishes your body is the fruition of you being an outstanding person from the point of view that you took this seed into your system and made it beneficial to you. Now, we can speak of the seed as the seed of a plant. Now, let's just take the seed. Now, let's take a grape seed. Now, we probably shouldn't take a grape seed because grape seed is grown usually from stock and not from seeds, although the seeds have to begin the stock. But mostly the wineries and the vineyards go from stock rather than from seed. But they had to come from seed first. Take corn seed. You plow your field, and then you drop your corn seed in, and you put a fish over it, like the Indians did. You fertilize it well, and you cover it up, and then you let it mature. And as it matures, it grows quite tall and nice, and then out shoot a whole lot of other seeds, which are the corn, and on each one of the husks, or on each one of the cobs, are hundreds of seed. And the seed can either be used to raise more corn, or to eat, or for popcorn, or for whatever else you like it to be used for. But you see, in the seed is its fruition. If you were to take the seed of the corn and take, say, a third of the field and take maybe about so many baskets of seed and keep that for next year's crop, that'd be great. But if you're so hungry you eat it all up, then you won't have next year's crop either. You have to balance your seed out. And so if you're so hungry, then go a little less this time and take more seed and plant more seeds so that you have more corn so that you can have plenty to eat next year. You'll get by this year, but if you want to eat in a more abundance, then plant more abundance in the seeds, because in the seed is its fruition. Now, you could also get wise, and you could look at your neighbor, and you could see that your neighbor is growing maybe about a third of the size of the field that you're growing seed, that is, you're growing corn in, and he gets three times the amount of corn you do. And you say, he's doing something right. And so you go to him and you say, what kind of seed are you using to give you a fruition like you're getting of these wonderful ears of corn that are just so fantastic, that have such great production to them? My ears of corn are 8 inches long and your ears of corn are 12 inches long. You get more corn for every cob and you do well. Plus, you have more cobs per stalk. And, hey, that is real cool. You see, this is paying attention to the type of seed you plant for the type of harvest you want to have. Now, the same is true in our life. When we plant seeds of I like me, we get a harvest of happiness, joy, peace, harmony, right action, truth, love, and every good thing. When we plant a seed crop of I don't like me, or I'm unable to do this, I don't have the capacity to do this, I'm unable to think about that, then we get that sort of a harvest. Now, just as you planted your corn crop, and you got a minimum amount of corn, and your neighbor planted a corn crop in less space and got more corn than you ever dreamed of getting. So you don't sit back and say, that damn neighbor, why does he have it and I don't? You go over and you say, neighbor, what kind of corn are you raising here? I will go to the store and buy that kind of corn because obviously it grows very good in our community, in our area here, and the harvest is just wonderful. And neighbor will say, yeah, I meant to tell you about that because I've been so busy with planting and harvesting, I didn't get around to telling you. It's this brand of corn. Well, I'll certainly go buy that. And so you go buy this corn. Now again, you eat less because you took the money that you could have gotten from your corn crop and went over and bought more seed than more feed for yourself. But after the first year, you do just wonders. Then you get the idea, hey, this corn that I have, that my neighbor is having so abundantly, is wonderful. Now, I read in a book, and I like to read in books, you know, because if you don't read in books, then you got to read in life and in nature. But I read in a book. And in this book, it said, if you will put a perfectly designed pyramid structure made out of just strings or wood or cardboard or anything, but just so that the outline of the pyramid is there, put it over your seeds, and then when it comes time in the fall to plant your seeds so that you'll have a spring harvest, or in the spring when you plant them, it depends on what your program is, and you put them under this pyramid before that for at least a week or longer, you should triple your crop. What? That is outrageous. Tripling our crop just because you line up a couple strings over it. That's right. That's right. As long as you have the exact pyramid and you have it facing in the right latitude and longitude and in the right north, south, east, west setup, it's very particular. I know a friend of mine who is a fire chief from Imperial Valley, Rudy Medina. And Rudy is a great aficionado of all these wonderful cultural ideas, and he read that if he did that, that's what would happen. So Rudy had nothing to lose. He had 8 rows of corn in his backyard, which were maybe about 20 feet long. No big deal. So he took his corn and put it underneath a pyramid that he made. My son Mark had made these pyramids out of cardboard, and so he put this pyramid, which was maybe about 5 feet high, over his corn, and then he put it outdoors. And well, the weather was a little inclement sometimes, and so he had a hole in the front of the pyramid so the cats could go into the pyramid and could stay inside of it. Well, the cats went in there and were very happy. And then it was a rainy day, and so he put the cat's food inside the pyramid so the cats could eat it inside the pyramid. Well, the cats, who had up to that moment loved meat and fish and other things, they ignored the meat. They wouldn't touch the meat inside the pyramid because it was not something that was appealing to them any longer. And that was a surprise to him. Then, when he took the corn out and planted it, he not only got 3 to 4 times more, he got 8 times more the crop that he had the previous year with the same amount of corn. Now, is he a believer? Oh my, yes. Does he go around telling everybody about his pyramids and so forth? Oh yes. Now, does that work? Yes. Did it work for him? Yes. Was he delighted and happy with it? Yes. Did he keep the pyramid around his house until it disintegrated for at least 5 or 6, or maybe 4 or 5 years? Yes. When it disintegrated, did he replace it? No. Now, isn't that interesting? Isn't that it works, and he didn't replace it. It works, and he didn't buy himself a new pyramid or build himself a new pyramid to put right there, and you know, make it out of glass, or make it out of metal, or make it out of wood, or make it out of something a little more permanent, you know, and paint it and what have you, so that it remains a longer life. But he went off to other things. He had other amusements that were charming to him, like dowsing. And so he was dowsing for water, and dowsing for gold, and dowsing for all other things. And he just had so many fascinating interests about it. But I know for a fact, because I was his minister down in the Imperial Valley, where he was the fire chief there, and he was a member of our congregation, and I would go to his home oftentimes for meals and other good things, and he would show me all his projects as of that moment. And he liked my son very much, and my son decided, well, we'll give Rudy a pyramid. And so he brought down a pyramid for him one time, and he put it to work, and he was just amazed at how beautiful it worked, and year after year after year. But you see, this is where we fail. We have a winning crop, we know what made it win, and then we don't practice it each year. We go to the store, and we see that the brand that we usually use of corn is $2 per watt, and other brands are 50 cents for the same amount of corn. Well, now, it's wise for us to buy the 50-cent corn instead of the $2 corn, because that's a lot more profitable, except that the 50-cent corn does not produce like the $2 corn does. The $2 corn has genes in it and chromosomes in it and all sorts of DNA in it that make it move, and that under right circumstances, like under the pyramid, can make it grow beautifully, bountifully. Well, now, Rudy never went back to his pyramids, as I say, because he had so many other projects. And raising corn was not his major project. He told all his friends, and his farmer friends did it, and they too had amazing crops. But what would have happened if Rudy had put this over the doghouse, you know, and had the dogs go in there? What would happen if Rudy put this over his lettuce seed, all the seeds that he bought before he planted it the next season? What would happen? Well, experimentation would prove it to us. But if the pyramid and its experience was anything from the past, it should multiply the crop very bountifully. However, he didn't do that, and he didn't do that because, like we don't do things, we oftentimes don't bother because we get our interest somewhere else. But both in the seed, in me is both the seed and its fruition. In me is the idea and its fruition. In me is the dream and its fruition. In me is the seed and its fruition. Like in every man and every woman, you have the seed and you have the egg and you have the future generations and generations. And when you look at the heritage charts of families and you see how abundant some are and others are more not abundant in numbers, but abundant in quality-type people. Now, is having less children quality or having more children quality? And the answer is yes. And the reason for this usually is when you have more children, you cannot give them all the education that you have. You can give to less. If you have 1 or 2 children, you can put them through college. If you have 6 or 8 children, there's no way you can get them through college unless you are really dedicated to getting them through college. Now, we look at Patricia Shivdad, our student in New York, New Jersey, and she came to this country from Guyana, and when she was in Guyana, she was a very prominent lady and very wealthy, and her husband became ill, and they moved to America, and her husband died, and all of their wealthiness disappeared. And here she was with six kids, I think it was, that she had to raise all by herself and put them through college, all of them, and see them all get their doctorates and their lawyer doctorates and their doctorates in every field that they were in. And they all her children are outstanding. Now, if she did not put them through college, you would say they're normal people because they didn't go on to higher paying jobs. But they went to lower paying jobs, but there's nothing bad about that, except that she wanted the very best for her children, and so she sacrificed much to put them through college. But she didn't tell her children that. That's just what she did. She didn't want them to feel guilty about it. Now the children are doing just great. In other families, parents, I sacrificed this to put you through school, and I did that to put you through school. And, you know, you want to say to hell with it and run, you know. You don't need to be beholden to anybody, whether it's your parents or anybody else. But you see, when you plant a good seed and you harvest it, and not harvest, but you nurture it and you take care of it so that it grows strong and beautiful, you can be proud of it. But when you plant a seed, and you say to that seed, now, I'm giving you my best. I'm doing this and I'm doing that. And I'm because of me, you know, you're taking water that I should drink and stuff like that. So naturally, you're going to grow bigger, you know, than your mama tree. And we have to be careful of that. We have to be careful. Just always give 100%. Because if we always give 100% or 200%, whatever amount we can get to, it'll come back to us. If not from our family, from our friends, from our own inner awareness. Do you know what some of the blessings are of giving? Some of the blessings are, and this is in keeping with in me, the seed and fruition. Some of the blessings are perfect health. If you go out giving love, giving joy, giving peace, giving harmony, giving wonderment to everybody, you get that back as perfect health. You get that back as having abundance, being independently wealthy. You get that back as having a harmonious relationship with your husband or wife or children. You get that back in many ways that you cannot count on your adding machine, but you do get it back. And see, so these are things that we want to come to realize that in me is both the seed and the fruition. And whatever seed that I choose to have, that's the one that makes the difference for me. That's the one that makes me happy and content. And if I don't have that seed in me that makes me happy and content, it's because I didn't put it there. If I put the seed in me to make me happy and content, I'll be happy and content. If I don't, I won't. Okay, my time is up. I bless you, I love you, and I see each one of you fulfilled fruitfully. Yep. I love you, I love you, I love you.
I love you.